That was all that happened. Sven was bleeding, but he managed to pull up his breeches and his friends helped him away. And Rorik and I took Thyra back to the homestead, where Raven heard Thyra's sobs and our excited voices and demanded silence.
Uhtred, the old man said sternly, you will wait by the pigsties. Rorik, you will tell me what happened.
I waited outside as Rorik told what had happened. Then Rorik was sent out and I was summoned indoors to recount the afternoon's escapade. Thyra was now in her mother's arms, and her mother and grandmother were furious.
You tell the same tale as Rorik,
Raven said when I had finished.
Because it's the truth, I said.
So it would seem.
He raped her, Sigrid insisted.
No, Raven said firmly. Thanks to Uhtred, he did not.
That was the story Ragnar heard when he returned from hunting, and as it made me a hero, I did not argue against its essential untruth, which was that Sven would not have raped Thyra, for he would not have dared. His foolishness knew few limits. But limits there were, and committing rape on the daughter of Earl Ragnar, his father's warlord, was beyond even Sven's stupidity. Yet he had made an enemy, and, next day, Ragnar led 6 men to Kjartan's house in the neighbouring valley. Rorik and I were given horses and told to accompany the men, and I confess I was frightened. I felt I was responsible. I had, after all, started the games in the high woods, but Ragnar did not see it that way.
You haven't offended me. Sven has.
He spoke darkly, his usual cheerfulness gone.
You did well, Uhtred. You behaved like a Dane.
There was no higher praise he could have given me, and I sensed he was disappointed that I had charged Sven instead of Rorik. But I was older and much stronger than Ragnar's younger son, so it should have been me who fought. We rode through the cold woods, and I was curious because 2 of Ragnar's men carried long branches of hazel that were too spindly to use as weapons. But what they were for I did not like to ask, because I was nervous. Kjartan's homestead was in the fold of the hills beside a stream that ran through pastures where he kept sheep, goats and cattle, though most had been killed now, and the few remaining animals were cropping the last of the year's grass. It was a sunny day, though cold. Dogs barked as we approached, but Kjartan and his men snarled at them and beat them back to the yard beside the house where he had planted an ash tree that did not look as though it would survive the coming winter. And then, accompanied by 4 men, none of them armed, he walked toward the approaching horsemen. Ragnar and his 6 men were armed to the hilt with shields, swords, and war axes, and their broad chests were clad in mail, while Ragnar was wearing my father's helmet that he had purchased after the fighting at Jofurik. It was a splendid helmet, its crown and facepiece decorated with silver, and I thought it looked better on Ragnar than it had on my father. Kjartan, the shipmaster, was a big man, taller than Ragnar, with a flat, wide face like his son's, and small, suspicious eyes, and a huge beard. He glanced at the hazel branches and must have recognized their meaning, for he instinctively touched the hammer charm hanging on a silver chain about his neck.